Thank you very much, Bob and the other guys, of course, and for this wonderful opportunity given to me once again to not only to be part of this wonderful fellowship this morning, but of course to minister the Word of God. And I am so grateful that this church has been a part of establishing the kingdom of God in our country. And I am so thankful that you are part of what the Lord is doing in the Philippines, for sending, especially for sending some of your members to our country. That was, I think, that was 10 years ago. And the very reason why I am here, one of the reasons why I am in the U.S. is to invite groups again. I think it's time to regroup. Although we call the Philippines as the only Christian country in the Far East, but then the reality is that the Philippines is 90% religious, but only 10% Christians. And that's the very reason why we are inviting missionaries from the U.S. to go to the country and help us establish the kingdom of God, especially that we know that we are now living in the end times. So what an opportunity to be back and to meet my extended family here in the U.S. Yeah, from time to time I traveled. People are asking if I had some relatives here in the U.S. And I keep telling them that I have lots of relatives. Not in the physical sense, but on the spiritual sense, because we are only members of one body. This is the body of Christ, which is the church. So whenever I went some places, I found so many extended families, and I am so thankful to the Lord for this wonderful opportunity and privilege. Of course, I bring you greetings from one of the most beautiful countries in the world, of course, the Philippines, and of course, our greetings to our pastor this morning in celebration of his 38th birthday. That was 20 years ago. Amen. So it's been our prayer that God will continue to bless him and use him mightily in the ministry. It might be here in the U.S. or around the globe. Amen. So this morning, if you had your Facebook with you, I often call this Bible as my Facebook. I think majority of the people in the world have a Facebook account. And they used to check their Facebook account almost maybe every hour or every day. And so I call this as my Facebook because whenever I open the pages of this book, not only that I can see my face in here, but my whole being or my whole personality. Because the Lord is speaking to us through this book. My wife called it Faith Book. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So whenever we read the book, the pages of this book, faith cometh. And not only faith cometh, but faith grows every day and every day. And that's the very reason why we need to open, not only to open, but read the pages of this book. So this morning, if you had your Bibles with you, please turn with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. It's beginning from verse 1 down to verse 13. And I'm reading in the King James Version. Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning from verse 1 down to verse 13, and it says like this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compressed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood strivings against sin, And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without the chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then all ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening, for they present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Verse 12 and 13, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths unto your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I want to talk to you this morning about running the race and how to finish well. Right now in your country, America, there's an ongoing race in the political arena. It's between the two major political parties in the States. And one thing for sure, whoever finishes well at the end of the campaign period will surely win the election comes November. While it is true in the secular and the political arena, also it is true in the Christian world. We are not only in a race, but we are in a battle. It's not a battle between the flesh and blood, but a spiritual battle. And every Christians in the world are in this particular race. In fact, in 2 Timothy, if you read your Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 6, the Apostle Paul confirms that every believer, every Christians are in a Christian race. In fact, he uses four pictures or analogies. The number one analogy he uses is as a soldier. He said in verse 3, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself be tied up in the affairs of this life. For then you cannot satisfy the one who enlisted you in his army. So Paul uses the analogy of a soldier. And as believers in Christ, we are like soldier. We are soldier of Christ Jesus, the biggest army around the globe. And this is the army of God. Every believers are soldiers. And then in verse 4, 5, and 6, it says, follow the Lord's rules for doing his work, just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. Hardworking farmers are the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. The Lord will give you understanding in all these things. So it is very clear, according to Paul in 2 Timothy, that we are in a Christian race. We are likened to an athlete. We are likened to an athlete, not only an athlete, but also a soldier and as a farmer. And before us are rules and regulations. And then if we follow them, or if not, then that will be, gives us an opportunity to be disqualified. Now in the text we just read in Hebrews chapter 12, give us some simple principles as to how to run the race and how to finish well. I will be laying down to you this morning about some principles on how to run the race and how to finish well. Because to start or to begin a race is so easy. But to maintain and to finish the race is another thing. That's the very reason why there are so many Christians of today. They begin the race so well, but unable to finish. But this morning, in Hebrews chapter 12, there are some simple principles in order for us to guide us as to how to run the race and to finish well. The number one principle is found in verse 1. It says like this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us run." So in running the race, we need to run with inspiration. Brother Bob showed me the other night about his music room. Then he put some pictures of many people, musicians. He even showed me some pictures of those people who are expert in playing guitars. So it seems to me that these people are his inspiration as far as music is concerned. And we as Christians, in running this race, we need to run with inspiration. So if you notice verse 1, he uses the word therefore. That means he is pointing us back to Hebrews chapter 11. As we know that Hebrews chapter 11 listed the names of the people who happens to be heroes of faith. The first part of it are heroes of faith. They set world records, and not only world records, but also biblical records. And so verse 1, he's pointing us back to Hebrews chapter 11. And as far as running the race is concerned, we need to have an inspiration. So if we look back chapter 11, verse 1, here are the people listed here as our inspiration. Verse 3 says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things we are even seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh." So the first inspiration we have as far as chapter 11 is concerned is none other than the young man Abel. So as far as giving sacrifices is concerned, Abel should be our inspiration. And then the second person listed here is in verse 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him, for before the translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God." So as far as pleasing God is concerned, Enoch should be our inspiration. And because he pleases God, he was translated bodily. And he never see that because he pleases God. And then we have Noah, Abraham, then Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. We have Moses and the judges in verse 32. "In what shall I say more? For the time would fade me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, also in Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued the kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained the promises, stopped the mouths of the lions." And aside from these judges, aside from these prophets, and aside from these kings, we have the unknown or the martyrs. As what verse 35 is saying, "Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection." So the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews are the names of individuals being listed here as our inspiration. But I believe that the greatest inspirations we have as Christians and believers in running the race is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. According to Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Looking for that blessed hope, although people are crying for new leadership in every nation around the globe, people are crying for new leaders. because they're believing and they're thinking that the hope of their nation lies on new leadership. But it's not. The only hope of the world today, brothers and sisters, is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have the privilege to join the leadership of this church yesterday, and we have this prayer walk. And I am so encouraged for what they are doing for this small town of Pilumat, because they're believing that the only hope of the city is not the leadership of the town, although they have part of it. But the only hope of the city is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And not only America, but all the nations around the globe, the only hope of the world is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So He is our great inspiration, so that we can run the race well and we can finish well. We need to run with inspiration. The second principle is in verse 2, Hebrews chapter 12. Aside from running with inspiration, verse 1, seeing we compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The second principle is that aside from running with inspiration, we need to run the race with all hindrances removed. We need to run the race with all hindrances removed. Can you imagine someone or somebody in the race that is carrying a log or a big box full of goods? But you will notice that most of these athletes running in the race are wearing the lightest kind of materials, light shirt, light shoes, because they want to run the race well. And no one in this race are carrying such big weights in their shoulder, because that will hinder them. There are two things mentioned in verse 1. Two hindrances. Number one is the weight, and second is the sin. So weight and sin. So in between the beginning of the race, in the finishing line, there are some weights, there are some sin that could surely hinder somebody running in the race. I heard a story about these three young men who planned to attend a dance party, but in order to reach the place, they must cross the river. And the only transportation and the only means to reach the other side of the river is to ride in a boat. At 6 o'clock at night, they began paddling the boat while hearing this loud music on the other side of the river. So they began rowing the boat, paddling the boat. And then they noticed that they were not able to reach the place. In fact, it only takes them an hour to reach the other side of the river. But they noticed that they've been rowing the boat, they've been paddling the boat almost 12 hours until the morning comes, and they were not able to cross the river. And then one of them noticed that the boat was being tied up. So many people are there. So many Christians of today are like this. We tried everything. We try to paddle our own boat in hope that we can reach the other side of the river. But unnoticed that the boat we are riding is being tied up. So it's sad to say, brothers and sisters, that there are lots of believers of today. There are weights. Yes, it's true that there are weights in our shoulders. As I was sharing to our pastors and Brother Bob yesterday, that negative circumstances are part of our Christian lives. We are not exempted of this. For if believers of today are exempted on negative circumstances, maybe the population of the whole world will become Christians. if believers of today are exempted on these negative circumstances, I believe that even this room will not be enough to accommodate all the people in this city. But negative circumstances, trials, testings, crises are part of our Christian lives. These are the weights we are carrying. Okay? We have weights, we have crises, we have testings. But the good thing is, in the midst of these testings, in the midst of these trials, we can turn them into an opportunity. I was sharing to Pastor Dave yesterday that our country has suffered so many calamities during the past 2 months, especially the month of August, where we have these floodings all over the city of Metro Manila. Could you just imagine rain supposed to be for a month? Has been poured down in the country for just 3 days. That was August 8, 2012. And people are trying to relate that incident in the account of Noah's flood. Because Noah's the account in Noah's flood is found in Genesis chapter 8, verse 8 to 12. And the floodings in Metro Manila happens August 8, 2012. And people are asking, is this the flood of Noah? Where's the boat? But it's just a coincidence. And then a week after, in the parts of the Visayas, we have this earthquake. And then a week after, in the south, part of Mindanao, there's drought in Mindanao. So what's the message in this? We call ourselves to be a Christian country. We call ourselves to be Christians. But here comes crisis. Here comes calamities. But we believe that this is a wake-up call from God. But still, we can still turn our crisis into an opportunity. An opportunity for God to work in our behalf. And it's also our opportunity to get closer and closer to God. In running the race, brothers and sisters, there are weights. But it doesn't mean that if you have weights, it's done. In fact, according to Paul, in 2 Corinthians, if you look your Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, these are some of his experiences. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, but this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us is held in perishable containers that is in our weak bodies. So everyone can see that our glorious power is from God in us and is not our own. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep on going. What's an statement? What an statement. In fact, during Bible times, if they had the precious jewels, they'll not put it in a jewelry box or a vault. But rather, they store their jewelries, precious jewels, in an earthen vessel. And if you want to expose what's inside this earthen vessel, you need to break it. The same principle applies. Paul is telling us that the glory has been deposited in us. The power, the glory of God has been deposited in us. And in order for this glory and power of God will be exposed in us, we need to be broken. And the only means to be broken is through this kind of sufferings, trials, and testings. They are part of our Christian lives. During the 70s or 60s or 70s, there's no digital camera yet before those period of time. But what they are using is a negative film to take your picture. And then this negative film are being developed into where? In the light? No. in the darkest room. But after that, from the negative film, developed into that darkest room, here comes a beautiful picture of yours. The same thing happens to us. We are passing through the valley of Baca. But after that, here comes the power and the glory from God. So we need to understand that this breaking, these circumstances are part of our Christian lives. So we need to continue running the race. Let's lay aside every weight that's hindering us, and especially the sin that holds us back from running. So we need to run the race with all hindrances removed. The third principle is in verse 2. He says, Hebrews chapter 12, or verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So aside from running with inspiration, aside from running with hindrances removed, the third principle is that we need to run with endurance or perseverance. We need to run with patience, with endurance. I remember one time during the Mexico City Olympics, in a 12-mile run, Mamu Wulde of Ethiopia won the race. People are so excited to see that all these athletes crosses the finishing line. But after 1 hour, they were surprised that there's still one athlete, John Akwari of Tanzania. Because of the first stage of running, he fell and he met an accident. His leg was so severe hurt. Enough reason for him to stop running, but he kept on until he crosses the finishing line. And one of the media people asked John Akwari, Mr. John Akwari, we learned that you met an accident on the first stage of running, enough for you to quit the race. And then John Akwari just smiled to this young man and said, my country, Tanzania, sent me here not only to start the race, but to finish the race. What an awesome statement. My nation, my country, Tanzania, sent me here in the Olympics not only to start the race, but to finish the race. We're not only representing our organization today. We're not only representing our denomination today. We're not only representing our country, but we are representing the kingdom of God. We are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are not here just to start the race, but to continue and finish the race. So we need to run the race with perseverance. We need to run the race with endurance. Yes, we know and we believe that there are times that we feel like we no longer want to run. We feel discouraged. I feel so many times. I've been to those kind of experiences. But the good thing is, if we continue to trust the Lord, then we have enough strength to go on and continue. So John Akwari says, I am here not only to start the race, but to finish the race. So we need to run the race with endurance, with perseverance. What does it mean to run with perseverance or to run with endurance? In Philippians chapter 3, Paul calls it pressing toward the marks. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 to 12, he uses the word with diligence. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 and 26, he uses this statement, goes into a strict training. Those are the related word as far as running the race with perseverance or endurance. We need to endure. Whoever endureth until the end shall be saved. According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. And then the fourth principle of the last principle is found in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to run, fixing our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. So we need to run the race with goal in mind. Could you just imagine somebody or someone in the race without any goal in mind, without any purpose? I believe that even this morning we are here with a certain goal, with a certain purpose, and that is to worship Him, to praise Him, to glorify Him, to thank Him. As what we sang earlier, we have 10,000 reasons to praise Him. I believe not only 10,000 reasons, but millions of reasons. Yeah? To praise Him, to praise Him, to worship Him. So we need to have a goal in mind. We need to run the race with a goal in mind. Miles Monroe, in his book, Maximizing Your Potential, said, life without a purpose is like an experiment. Can you just imagine? Life without a purpose is like an experiment. And we cannot live on the message of this song, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. There's a goal in mind. And the main goal, according to Paul in 2 Timothy, if you read your Bible, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Today we are celebrating 58th birthday of our pastor. And it doesn't mean that the race for him is over. Yes, it's just the beginning. To me, he is like, he's just like 18-year-old. Yeah, because we have a saying that life begins at 40. So Pastor Dave is only 18 today. If we believe that life begins at 40. Amen. Yes. So I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. According to Paul. Philippians chapter 3 verse 4 said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So everybody in this room had a particular calling. Each and every one of us in this room had a particular calling. Some are called to be part of this fivefold ministry or ministerial gifts. Some are called to function as a support group or motivational gifts, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. And some functioned on the manifestations gifts, which is 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So everybody in this room had a role to play in the ministry. We are not created the same. We have different kind of giftings. Only we need to discover what are these giftings. And then we function on those giftings. And then we'll finish the course. Whatever responsibility God has put in our shoulder, in us, brothers and sisters, we need to finish them. We have a goal in mind to finish the course. So we need a goal. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3, Paul is telling us, through his letters to the Corinthians, that even if I speak in the language of angels and men, but I have not charity, that's the goal. If I have not charity, then I am like a clanging cymbal. I may have the greatest faith in the world, and I can move mountains. But if I have not faith, then I am nothing. I may give all my wealth, my riches, to feed the poor, and even my body to be burned, but if I have not charity, then it profiteth me nothing. Paul is telling us that in everything we do, there should be a goal. There should be a purpose. So we need to run the race with a goal in mind. And the very goal, brothers and sisters, is to finish the course. Fought a good fight of faith and keep the faith. So how are we running today, brothers and sisters? Are we tired? Are we carrying that heavy load in our shoulder that hinders us in running? Whatever the circumstances this morning, I believe that God will get us through. I believe it's time for us to gain strength, more strength, so that we can finish the race that is set before us. Lay down to the cross. Lay it down to the cross. Whatever weights we're having in our shoulders, whatever negative circumstances we are having in this morning, we need to lay it down on the cross. And I believe that if we will do that, then the Lord will help us too. Let me close this message this morning with a song. It's an old song. The wordings of the songs goes like this. I have many tears and sorrows. I have questions for tomorrows. Times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me consolation that my trials came to only make me strong. The second stanza goes like this. I've been a lot of places. I've seen a lot of faces. Time I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, get those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was all his own. Then the last stanza goes like this. I thank him for the mountains. We have all mountain experiences and we have valley experiences. We have our strength. We have our weaknesses. We have our ups and downs in the Christian lives. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I haven't any problems, I haven't know how he solved them, and I haven't know what faith in God can do. Then the choral goes like this, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Praise God. Got a chair, please. Praise God. Thank you, God. I've many tears and sorrows. I've questioned for tomorrow. There were times I didn't know from right or wrong. But in every situation, God gave me consolation that my trials came to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've been a lot of places, I've seen a lot of faces. There were times I felt so all alone, but in my lonely hours, get those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was solely His own. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I thank Him for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I haven't no problems, I haven't know how He solved them, and I haven't know what faith in God can do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've learned to depend upon His word. Praise God.